Chapter 34 Guys and Dolls. Worry often gives a small thing a big shadow. Swedish proverb.
You know what the worst part was, don't you?
Worst part of what? Lena looked at Zelos. He could be talking about anything. Out the van window beyond his face, she could see the empty pumpkin fields, frosted with ice, the heavy sky with moisture-laden clouds. Angst. She just hated angst. He hadn't said a word to anyone about his breakup with Candy, or the syndicate activity in Seyrun. He had hardly said a word at all, which was not normal. They were all growing concerned. The CD had been completed only days ago, and it was currently in production. Zolf was overseeing it for the time being. Things could be fine. Should be great. Zelos, however, had just lost his girlfriend to another guy, sinking him into an understandable, mild melancholy. Additionally, the Slayers had returned to town, but it wasn't the same friendly place anymore. Mrs. Shearer's nieces had cleaned the boys' house well. There was no sign of the struggle or broken glass. Sheets were changed, walls washed, carpets cleaned. But all of their homes were being violated one by one, bothering them all, but driving Zelos into his own head for safety. Joey brought back Zelos' goldfish bowl the moment his brother got home and agreed to drive him over. But when he arrived, Zelos took no notice of it or him. Joey left with his feelings injured. Gowrie, gods love him, told his little brother to grow up and try to sympathize with his friend, or at least be supportive, or, if those social skills weren't within his realm of competency, then just shut up about it. Later that evening of their return home from Atlas City, there was another incident. When Val had taken out the trash, he had found mostly full pill cases Zelos had tossed out. When he questioned him, Zelos said that he was stopping his medication, that he was tired of trying to be someone else. Then he closed himself in his room. An hour later, he stormed out of the house, without his coat. Zelgadas was out picking up Beast, so it was up to Val to watch his foster step-something brother. He was shirtless in the house, but outside it was near freezing, and Val was no idiot. He took a moment to slip on his leather coat before loping out the door in pursuit. Of course, because he was in a hurry, he neglected to lock the door behind him. When Zelgadas and his wolf dog got home, they quickly toured the house looking for the occupants. Beast whined.
"Yeah, I don't see them either, but the door's open. Let's check again," Zel said with a scratch to the ears.
In Zelos' room, he found a note on the computer, which confirmed his suspicions. He had just emailed it to all the Slayers. It read, "An open letter to my dearest friends. For so long, I have been going through something comparable to hell because I can't slow down and know it, and never see what's coming next. It's a crappy cycle, and it ends in total depression and isolation from anyone. That is really simplifying the whole ordeal, but I'm sure you understand without my going into too much detail. I tried to deal with what is wrong with me alone, and not understood how that made it worse, and that it was not my fault in any way, shape, or form. You cannot imagine the frustration of being bright, but not being able to find a career or make a sound decision. With me taking my medicine as directed, I thought that eventually, at least by now, that I would be fine. But I was not. Am not. I still can't focus completely at school, work, home, and with my band family. At times, I thought I was getting better. You, my friends, have given me the much-needed support required for me as I have attempted to stabilize myself mentally. I still have hope that things will change, and I am looking forward to life more than ever before, which is why I've decided to ditch the medication and just be, well, me, the way the gods made me. So if I seem a little off,
Please try and look the other way and forgive. Thank you for putting up with me and for being my friends, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Your friend always, Zelos.
On his desk were the room confirmations for himself and Candy, for some local mountaintop resort. Zelos had tried so hard. Zell left the room with the papers and called Lena. Maybe he could kill two birds with one stone, or at least tuck his worries away about two of his friends a little bit longer. Or maybe just assuage his guilt from not acting sooner. He had not done enough to help Zelos. He knew that. He just had to let things go, thinking the poor guy could take care of himself. And Lena? He had avoided direct confrontation with her like the plague since the use-her-to-get-to-Dilgir incident. Well, now he could feel a wall building between them. All right, so he was using Gowri as a barrier. But so was she, maybe. Well, time to do something, he decided. Lena, Zell here. I just got home. Can't you guys leave me alone for an hour before bugging me with all your problems? Lena hollered irritably into the receiver. 2 hours and 45 minutes. Yeah, I have an idea. Wanna go skiing? No, I never have either, but how hard can it be?
By the time Val returned with a shivering, distraught Zelos, Lena and Zell had a whole new adventure planned. He would do something to get Zelos' mind off his recent breakup. Plus, Zell could keep that promise he had made to Zelos in order to get him to give up his front seat in the van for Lena. He would keep his promise and more, because he just had to do something nice for Lena. She was still a little resentful since he had overpowered her and tied her up, he knew. Oh, she acted like everything was all right by making no attempts to talk about it. She had put up a tough front, dismissing him with, "I let you. Get it?" But he knew that it wasn't so. He could hear it in her voice. And so, magically, the Slayers were back on the road. A short trip this time, to a resort not far above the apple orchards they had visited in fall. This was the vacation they all needed after the last eventful 10 days, and before they had to go back to school. Rodimus and Zolf had been formally promoted to full-time positions with the band, which included security guard duty. For this impromptu trip, Rodimus volunteered to do the driving. Zolf, still in Atlas City, would drive up later that night after putting the CD to bed. Understandably, then, Lena was worried about Zelos and hoped that this little vacation would do the trick. He needed to talk about things and yet was internalizing it all instead. Just like another friend she could think of, but wouldn't, because then she might start thinking about her own inadequacies, and that was not a possibility. Not that she was the one to draw out anyone's darkest feelings, but she volunteered to sit beside him for part of the ride to try. The worst part of what? Lena looked at Zelos. I mean, it's been a pretty eventful past few days, eh? The most difficult part of the entire CD-making process. Oh, yeah, that. Agreeing on the song order? She tossed out. No, getting Zelgadis to let the photographer do the CD cover pictures. Zelos smiled, a fleeting smile that didn't reach his eyes. Lena chuckled. Yeah, that photographer really had a thing for him, too. Must have taken a couple hundred close-ups of just him alone. You too. Yeah, of course, that goes without saying. He knew supreme beauty when he saw it, right? Zelos nodded and looked away out the window. Yes. Didn't he tell you you ought to be a model or something? Zelos shrugged. And that was that. No more smiles and no chat. But no tears either. Lena was thankful that Candy had put off the breakup until after the CD was done. He didn't look like he could care a flying fig about anything. She glanced over Zell's way. He looked happy, oddly enough. Well, just wait until he has to get Zelos to face classes at the university. Both Eris and Candy?
every day? Yeah, that would wipe the smile off anybody's face. Was he looking happy or just smug?
Lena noticed Zelos' hands, moving, getting fidgety. Hey Val, put in a CD. That one Zelos had wanted me to listen to. Aqua. Yeah, Aqua. Go to the one called Cartoon Heroes. He thinks you and I ought to do that as a duet.
The deep, gravelly voice of the male singer contrasted sharply with the youthful soprano of the girls.
Oh, yeah, funny, too, Val laughed.
It's a good idea, Lena said to Zelos with a nudge.
Zelos turned his eyes to meet hers. I'm glad you like it.
He began tapping rhythmically, keeping to the music's rhythm, then changed the accents to a syncopated beat. But the spark was gone. Lena hoped the trip would break his mood. So, Zell tells me he made you some kind of promise. This isn't something embarrassing for him, is it? Not that I mind, but I'm usually the one to get to him.
On the contrary, I expect he will find the entire experience pleasurable.
No kidding? She raised an eyebrow. So, what's it all about, then? He opened his mouth to speak. Then thought a moment longer before eventually saying,
You'll find out shortly.
I will? No secret stuff?
No secret stuff. You'll like it too, I suspect. Everyone will.
Even you? He shrugged and closed his eyes, ending the conversation. She wanted to hit him and beat on him, anything to get some emotional response. This listless man at her side was scarier than any she'd ever known. And with Zelos, there were many different personalities from which to choose. Amelia was lively on the road to the ski lodge, which was a nice change from the sad little girl who lost her favorite cousin, and the subdued one thereafter. Lena and Zelgadis had confided in her a few of the plans for the next couple of days, getting her excited. And now she was sitting beside Zell again. She was thrilled each time his eyes shifted in her direction, or he spoke to her in particular, seeking out her opinion. Ever since the near disaster at the shrine, he had been extra attentive, she thought. He called that night after he was settled in at Zangalus's. Her daddy had taken the call.
Hello, Mayor Phil here. Is this Zelgadis? It's very late, son, but I'm sure you know that. How are you and that brother of yours?
I'm fine. Zelos agreed to stay at the shrine, but he was all right. Unhurt, anyway. Can I, speak to Amelia?
No, she's sleeping. I can tell you that she was scratched up a bit, but she's a strong, brave girl. She'll be just fine with some rest. Sylphiel, too.
Phil cleared his throat.
What you did out there, that was a very courageous deed, young man.
Well, I was lucky. It could have been worse.
Nels Lotta and his wife might have been killed if you hadn't diverted that car. They were seated by the window waiting for their daughter to come home.
Oh, I didn't know that. I'm glad it turned out that way. I'm glad no one was hurt.
We all are. It's been a long night, and now it's well into the wee hours of the morning. I'll see you, shortly. Try and get a little rest now, son.
I will. I plan to sleep on the train ride. Night, then.
Good night, Zelgadis.
He had called to see if she was okay.
Amelia sighed, overflowing with good feelings. As tired as she was the next morning,
That news had lifted her spirits the instant she was told. Amelia climbed into the car beside Zalgadis on their way to the train station, a smile in her heart. Zulf was waiting for them. As Zangalus, Zalgadis, and McGuinn moved like zombies through the train station, Amelia was bleary-eyed, but Felicity was her middle name. McGuinn bid them farewell, and they boarded the train. Amelia was looking forward to sitting beside Zalgadis for the next few hours, and couldn't wait to find their seats and get settled. She was bubbling over with a combination of joy and excitement, but working very hard to contain her exuberance around the older men. She wanted to impress upon them all that she was a mature young woman. From the moment the train began to move, Amelia could tell Zell was not going to be much of a conversationalist. He leaned his head back on the seat and promptly fell asleep. She felt sorry for him. She had her balled-up coat to use as a pillow. He had nothing. His body slumped to the side, and she got an idea. Ever so gently, she guided his head onto her lap, providing a soft and comfortable cushion. He grunted once, and then settled into his cozy nest for the duration of the trip. Recalcitrant. That would be Zalgadis when it came to romance, or nearly everything. It was very difficult to direct his course of action without his prior approval. If he respected your authority, as with an instructor, or Lena, then he might be less resistant. It would also have to pass his logic system. He also didn't flirt. He didn't know how to. And why should he? Looking the way he did, one presumed, it would be ludicrous to think he could set anyone's heart aflutter, wouldn't it? He treated girls pretty much like guys, and survived all the social encounters he couldn't avoid. Of course, he had feelings. The stirring inside, normal for a guy his age. But he could put anything remotely related to desire into deep suppression. At least he tried to. Amelia was chipping away at his protective barrier bit by bit. From Amelia's standpoint, that impediment was what made him so attractive to her. He was genuine and unique and inexperienced. She would say sweet, but that didn't fit his personality. And chaste, well, it didn't sound manly enough. Compared to Zelos, he was unsophisticated. She trusted him, and he never pushed her into any situation she wasn't ready for. And yet, he was older and so mature, in other ways. With a sexy, soft, low voice, and he was smart. He was light on his feet when he danced and had good table manners. He had single-handedly saved Silphiel's parents. Zalgadis was brave and noble and a really good person. It was just that, maybe if she asked, Zelos could give him a few pointers on how to be more romantic.
Zalgadis, I know you can't hear me, but did you know you undid the past? Your grandfather blew up a shrine, killing Silphiel's birth parents, and you saved her adoptive ones. You're a real hero to them, and to me, too.
Amelia whispered this with a smile, carefully avoiding touching his face or hair, which might disturb his sleep. And he was her friend, no matter what. That made her feel all warm inside. Of course, his body was giving off some heat, too. The warmth, the gentle rocking of the train, and the humming drone of the engines, plus a serious lack of Z's the night before, worked like a magic spell, lulling her to sleep moments later. Zangalus, low on sleep himself, stretched out across a couple of empty seats and nodded off 5 minutes out of the station. He hadn't done much, but he had been a participant in the events of the evening before. After checking out the house, Zell, Zelos, and Val shared, out of curiosity, mostly while feigning interest in Candy's sob story of Zelos's neglect in her time of peril, he drove the poor girl back to her father's house for the night. There, he extracted himself quickly and returned home. He had finished watching an old movie on TV when his father came home with Zalgadis. an overnight guest once again. Once he had helped Zell find a sleeping bag, it was morning and they would be lucky to get a couple hours of sleep before having to get up to catch their train. Now he was content to be able to stretch out and nap. He was oblivious to the cozy couple resting across from him. Zulf, who had heard about the shrine attack on the radio, was now reading the paper's take on the entire fiasco the night before.
"Slayers should be called the Savers,"
ran one headline. That article favored the kids for saving the shrine.
"Slayers come to town and bring on attacks,"
ran another. This reporter was attempting to place the blame on the kids for attracting unsavory people into Saerun. He used as supporting evidence the fan mass in Syrog, the Kanzel Mazenda assault on the mayor, and he was digging further, Atlas City, and that would lead him to more. Zulf was concerned. This reporter could endanger the kids. As soon as the three kids were secured on the train, he left his seat to place a call. Zangalus quickly made use of the vacated seat to make himself more comfortable.
"Hello, Agent Zulf speaking. We have a code 98. Oh, hi. Yes, Miss Inverse is fine and not involved. I just talked to Agent Rodimus this morning, and he told me she was sleeping, so no, she hasn't heard the news yet. Yes, yes, if that's what you want, consider it done. Good day to you, ma'am."
Zelos had fallen into silence, leaving Lena alone with her thoughts. She had really enjoyed the other evening with Just Gowrie, and old Rodimus glued to the TV and snoring in the den. No angst, no arguments, no tension. No deep, insightful discussions either, but hey, can't have it all, right? There was plenty to munch on, as she recalled. 4 bowls of microwaved popcorn and a half quart of milk definitely had helped her wind down at last. She and Gowrie were watching the final rented movie, a vampire story based on a popular book, which she had already read.
"What do you think of those clothes? Think the band would go for that gothic vampire look?"
"Huh? Like that guy? Ruffled shirts?"
"Yeah, like Lestat."
"I don't know. The short pants. I like mine regular length, you know."
"I know, but this would be for our band's costume. You'd look cool in black velvet knee pants, long white socks, one of those blousy shirts. Look, see? He sword fights like you do."
"He's holding it all wrong. If he... no, now he's lunging wrong and leaving himself open, see? Of course, he's just an actor, not a real sportsman,"
Gowrie reasoned fairly. "But that Aragorn guy did it all right, you said, right?"
"Yeah, he studied real good. He knew how to handle a long, heavy sword."
Lena nodded. He would know better than her. "I'm right about the clothes, though. Oh, nice cravat. The tie thingy."
"Not for playing. Too hot."
"Okay, you guys can wear your shirts open to the navel, and I'll wear the cravat. Vest, too, in brocade. Think we can find stuff like that at those outlet stores? Probably not. Resale."
"Be right back."
Gowrie carried the empty bowls and glasses into the kitchen and quickly washed up. He knew Zelgadis would have a fit the next day if he came back and saw a mess in the kitchen. He was odd that way, but Gowrie didn't mind. Next, he took out a pair of clean mugs, filled them each partway with milk, and loaded them into the microwave. He found the bottle of vanilla that Zell had bought for desserts, and a bag of brown sugar. When the milk was warmed thoroughly, he measured a teaspoon of vanilla and a couple tablespoons of sugar into each cup, then stirred.
"Gowrie, you coming back?"
"In a minute."
Now for the special part. 3 big spoonfuls of malt. He stirred, checked the temperature.
Real good.
Then carried his late night snack back.
"Ooh, that smells good," Lena squealed. "Thanks, you're pretty handy to have around."
Gowrie hid his satisfied smile until it appeared more meek than overjoyed.
"Careful, it's kinda hot. This oughta help you fall asleep."
As he passed her the mug, their hands touched. His so large and rough with calluses, and hers petite and falsely delicate-looking. Lena looked up, but she was intent on watching the mugs and not spilling the hot drinks. Pretty nice guy, thinking about my needs, huh? Well, he oughta... Aloud, she replied. Like I need that. It's okay, though. It's pretty tasty. She felt the warmth of his arm brushing against hers, and felt the heat start to rise to her face from the contact. This time, when she looked up, she caught his warm, appreciative gaze. Oh, dear gods. With an effort, she refocused on the TV. Yes, nothing like a great big bloodsucker to kill any ardor. Oh, look at those shoes with the heels and buckles. I gotta get a pair of those.
Oh, I forgot to give you something else. Gary said.
He unfolded his long legs and stretched across the floor to grab his coat. From one of the large side cargo pockets, he withdrew a pair of CDs.
Here, I got you these at that concert.
Huh? TMR? Whoa, you can't get these in Seyrun yet. Say, thanks. I'm gonna put on one right now, you know, to fall asleep to.
You need anything? Another blanket? Pillow?
Nah, I'm plenty warm, with this milk and all. She turned off the TV and flashed him a smile. The one he returned was casual and genuine. Yeah, this was fun and cozy. All they needed was a big, furry dog. Rodimus was frying bacon around 10 in the morning, which roused the sleeping kids in the front room.
I needed some meat. Hope you don't mind.
Mind? No, just make sure you make plenty, Lena grumbled. She hated mornings, but she liked bacon. 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 Lena blinked. Zelos was watching her.
What? She questioned him. You said bacon. You're not going to eat me, are you? I'll warn you, I'm tough.
Eat you? Nah, but I could go for something.
Miss Lena, we are stopping for lunch here. I've been telling everyone about this place. A real Scandinavian-type smorgasbord. All you can eat.
Good timing, Lena announced.
You don't know how good, Zello smiled. Thank you, Amelia. You just saved my bacon.
Lena groaned at the bad joke, but was relieved to hear a semblance of the old Zellos again. After that, she paid him no heed, or anyone else, until she had seated herself at their huge plank table with two heaping plates of food. Only two. That's all they would allow her to take. One for salad and one for the main dishes. She could go back for more helpings as often as she desired. And she did desire. Zelos ate, but lightly, finding himself with time to talk while the others ate and listened.
Amelia, the last time you brought us up here, Lena and Zelgaris and myself, we didn't eat here. I had noticed the signs in passing, and later when I got home I looked into this little village.
He paused to sip at his tea.
I discovered a very interesting place.
Oh, really, Mr. Zelos? Shall we go visit? Do you want to?
Well,
his voice took on a mysterious tone and his eyes shone.
After what I tell you, you can decide.
Silphiel shivered.
Oh, Zelos, you make me feel all creepy when you talk like that.
He makes me feel creepy any way he talks. Philia joked.
If you're not interested, he murmured.
Tell us the story. Lena demanded.
Well, there is a tale about a tower nearby, which tells of a clever dollmaker. Now this craftsman hates people for some reason not understood, but more importantly he conceals his abode. A great mystery.
This was said in a hollow tone that made Silphiel shriek, interrupting the narration.
I don't want to go there! Why would anybody?
Why, indeed,
He shrugged and tilted his head toward her. It is said that this puppet master holds the answer to your heart's desire, whatever that may be. If you can get past his animated marionette guards at his door. Zelos's recitation made it a lot spookier than Delgadis thought was necessary, and was about to kill the mood when the restaurant's owner stopped by their table to hand them their dessert plates.
"It's one of those robot dolls!"
Sylphiel screamed and pointed to the startled man. She jumped from her seat so quickly she jostled the table.
"It's possessed!"
The man moved rather mechanically, his mouth opening and closing wordlessly at that accusation, leading the other's active imaginations to get a bit carried away.
"Gah!" Val shouted.
"Eek!"
Philia and Amelia squealed.
"What?"
Lena stood on her chair seat, ready to fight the giant. Gowrie's arm shot out and knocked the man's arm, sending tiny plates sailing through the air.
"No!"
"Ah!
Ah!"
Sylphiel and Zelgadis just freaked out, though Zell was mostly affected by the flying china heading his way. Zelos moaned,
"There goes dessert."
"Oh no, not me. No, no, you must be thinking of the occult doll maker. I overheard you talking about the shop." Lena grabbed the restaurant owner's sleeve.
"You mean that story was true?"
Nodding, the man added, "Oh yes, I can tell you from experience that the man really does hate other people."
"Then why does he run a retail business?" Zell asked shrewdly.
"His brother did originally, while he made the dolls. His brother passed away a few years back, and he rarely lets anyone in, and never sells a doll. But they say he keeps on making them." Zell bit back a cutting remark about a man playing with dolls, when the owner began to tell them more. "I was told that the only way to get in was to disguise yourself, to dress like animals."
"Of course, something demeaning," Zell noted bitterly.
In the meantime, Val settled the bill. Sylphiel, with Philia on her tail, ran up to him.
"You don't want to go in that place, do you? Lena's going to. Gowrie will have to. Amelia's all gung-ho."
"I refuse to get caught up in one of Zelos' schemes," Philia announced.
"Okay, I'll let her know. We'll find some other places to hang."
Amelia was drilling the restaurant owner for costume shops, leaving Lena to rally the troops. Gowrie, as Sylphiel had pointed out, consented grudgingly. Zell, even more grudgingly, and only after Lena insisted that there would be something in it for him. What? She couldn't say, but she wouldn't take no for an answer. Zelos cheerfully volunteered to accompany Amelia to collect appropriate attire.
"You do that," Val chuckled, with a lovely lass on each arm. "We're checking out the scene. Catch you later."
And with that said, the three of them marched away. Amelia and Zelos were quickly dispatched to do their thing, while Lena led Gowrie and Zell to the gift store not far down the road from the restaurant. They all agreed to meet out front of the dollmaker's shop in a half hour.
"Mr. Zelos, this bag sure is heavy. Is yours heavy, too?"
Amelia asked, her voice catching in her throat as she staggered along. Her sack was, in fact, so large that she couldn't see around it.
"Not particularly. Oh, look, there's Zelgadis and Lena and Gowrie, too."
His bag of rental clothes was far smaller, although heavier, or so he claimed. He wasn't a very good drudge.
"I'll go run up ahead and see if they've found the shop."
Their destination was not just any old, cheap souvenir shop. They could tell the moment they reached the correct address. The property was set back off the road a ways and surrounded by a high ledge of dark yews. The multi-story forbidding-looking building with drab stone siding and narrow high windows sported a rather singular tall tower.
"This isn't a syndicate hideout, is it?"
Amelia asked Zelos, as she huffed and puffed, trying to keep up with him.
"Not that I know of,"
he smiled. But the fear in her eyes convinced him to modify his weak joke.
"Ah, no, Amelia, it's not. I'm certain. It's unusual, however. Hello, everybody."
"Guess we found it," Lena remarked. "Let's go in."
"Shouldn't we put on the costumes first?"
Zelos asked.
"Oh, for God's sakes, you don't believe all that crap, do you?"
"Well,"
he began, but Lena was already at the door. Gowri knocked first, then tried the door. It was a business. They should be able to just walk in, right?
"It's open."
Once inside, the small gathering took a few minutes to allow their eyes to adjust to the dim light. Here and there, the shadows gradually transformed into shapes, and those shapes into dozens upon dozens of pallid arms, legs, and faces. They were surrounded. There were hundreds of dolls, each exquisite and unique and eerie. Their movements stirred up dust which hung in the air, floating mist-like, visible in the wan light streaming through the dirty, slitted windows. Overhead dangled marionettes with garish grins. They appeared to be suspended mid-air and were all staring down at them.
"Creepy,"
Amelia whispered in dismay.
"Are you scared, Miss Lena?"
Zelos purred in her ear.
"Certainly not,"
she assured him, but her voice betrayed her with a tiny tremor. He smiled to himself, raised a finger, cold from the out-of-doors, and poked the back of her neck.
"Ah!"
Lena screamed in terror. She spun around and dashed for the door.
"Eee!"
Amelia echoed her and bolted as well, with Zeldatus, Gowri, and Zelos at their heels. Catching their breath outside, again, gave them a chance to reassess their plans.
"Okay, so it's a lot creepier than I thought it would be,"
Lena gave him.
"So now what?"
Gowri asked, ready to leave.
"I say we put on the costumes, since Amelia carried them all this way."
"I carried..."
Zelos began. "Here, Amelia, be a star." Lena shoved a bright starfish costume into her arms. She had her eye on some shiny pink fur.
"I'll take this."
Lena's pick turned out to be a pink horse. "Zelos, you like green."
"Well, not particularly,"
he complained as he unfolded a multi-green ensemble he knew to be a frog. However, he certainly did not want the costume currently being pushed on Zelgadis.
"Damn it, Lena," Zell bulked. "Why is it I always get the rabbit costume? Zelos, trade."
But Zelos had hopped behind a hedge of shrubbery to strip and don his form-fitting attire.
"Heh heh, that's right. You were that white rabbit guy at our end-of-the-year tea party, weren't you?"
Zell's glare was cold as ice, which Lena ignored.
"Oh, Gowri, this has to be yours. You're the only one tall enough for this."
Lena jammed the costume bag in his arms. He looked at it, confused.
"What is it?"
"What does it matter? Just put it on."
"Okay, Lena."
"Hurry up. Then help me cram Zell into his bunny suit."
"Don't touch me,"
Zell growled dangerously.
"Ah!"
Lena stuffed him into it anyway.
"I feel ridiculous in this,"
he said sulkily, one ear flopping over his eye. He brushed it away furiously.
"Nice ass," Zelos giggled. "I mean, tail."
He flicked Zell's white puff in passing. Zell struck out with a fist, connecting with Zelos's froggy eye, bobbing to the side of his head. The rest of the group wasn't entirely happy either. Amelia had chosen that pink pony outfit for herself. Pink was her favorite color, after all.
and she had collected all those little pony dolls, not Lena. Oh well, it wasn't worth fighting about. She didn't want it to come out that she had selected the bunny suit with Zell in mind. Zelos felt a bit exposed, but he had no one to blame. He had chosen the frog suit, which featured tights again, but a cool top hat.
"Does this suit make my legs look skinny?"
he asked, looking down. He lifted one leg, bending it at the knee, and wiggled his foot. The huge feet flopped around.
"I hope I don't trip in these."
"It's obscene," Zell hissed in his ear. Then, smirking meaningfully, added,
"Don't get excited in that."
The startled look he got in response satisfied his need to even up the score for the tail quip. Gowrie, on the other hand, seemed entirely satisfied as a 6 1/2 foot jellyfish. He waltzed around, gently swaying tentacles mixing with his hair.
"Okay, let's try this again."
Lena snagged Gowrie by the tentacle. Or lock of hair. It didn't matter to her. And pulled him toward the entry. This time, when they entered the shop, the 5 kids were greeted by a tall, pale man dressed in long, flowing black robes, topped comically by a lavender and black jester hat.
"Good day," he drawled,
removing his hat with a dramatic flourish. His hair fell free in long waves that held a greenish cast.
"I am Joe."
He replaced his hat on his head and gestured towards Lena.
"What may I do for you today?"
Lena studied his face. What a nutcase. She was taken aback by this performance. But then she was the master of her universe, she remembered, and bucked up.
"Joe, huh? Just Joe?"
"Well, yeah, hi. Listen, we've heard some pretty strange things about this place." Her attention wavered to an odd-looking doll cradled in one of his arms. Gowrie's eyes traced the same path.
"Must be the doll maker, huh?"
Gowrie pointed out unnecessarily to her.
"How about a tour, then?"
Joe offered. "Right this way." He moved quickly, nearly disappearing into the shadowy room beyond.
"Up the stairs now, and we'll begin in the tower,"
came his voice.
"Sure, a tour."
Lena shrugged and led the gang to climb the tower stairs. Gowrie tensed.
"I don't feel good about this."
"Keep your eyes open for a trap," Zell warned. He didn't like the stairs, or heights especially, and was uneasy. Amelia reached for Zell's free hand to step up the first of the stairs.
"Kinda dark."
"Ah!" Lena screamed, her noise fading as she fell from sight.
"What the gah!"
Zell was next, then Amelia attached to his hand.
"Eee!"
"Lena!"
Gowrie called. Then he too joined his friends on what turned out to be a long, bumpy slide back down the other side of the tower. They all wound up on top of one another at the bottom, Zelos being the froggy on top.
"What kind of place is this?"
Lena demanded at the top of her lungs. Zelos rolled off to the side as quickly as possible. The others were too slow for Lena, having had the air knocked out of them. She kicked Gowrie and Zell out of her way and stomped away in the direction of a light, and the smell of food. Joe was standing in the light behind a table.
"Tea, anyone? Refreshments first, then the tour."
"That was one hell of a way to get started. You could have warned us that that was a slide, you know." Lena charged at the man, but hesitated to strangle him when he pushed a cup of tea and a plate of cookies her way.
"Ah, okay. I guess I could use a snack."
Zell refused to participate. But Gowrie and Amelia launched themselves at the food as if they hadn't just had lunch little over an hour ago. Zell stood apart and watched the show.
"Who goes first?"
Joe asked.
"First for what?"
Zell wanted to know, but Gowrie stepped forward. Lena pushed him back. Me, you idiot.
Joe smiled. Let rock, paper, scissors decide. He convinced the two contestants to give it a go. Naturally, Gowrie became entangled in his tentacles so that his fist wouldn't open, and Lena slapped him with an open hand. Paper wins, Joe announced, and Lena smiled. Still munching her cookies, Lena asked, So, you make dolls here, right? You gonna show us that? Joe smiled. This way. Off to one side was a well-lit workroom. In here, stuffed animals are assembled. A snake, practically 20 feet long, had been in the process of having wads of stuffing rammed down its throat, or body, or tail. But all activity had been shut down during the tour. At least, they saw no other workers laboring away at any time during their stay.
Where would somebody put a toy like that? It's huge!
Amelia cried out, clearly enamored of the entire place.
Oh, an octopus! I've never seen octopus toys like this! And look, a bunny like you, Mr. Zelgadis, wearing tiger-striped underwear!
Just like you, Zelgadis.
Zelos started laughing. Zell shot him a disparaging look. You may choose the next room. Joe waved at a pair of doors.
Me, me, me!
Amelia squealed and dashed to one door. Lena yanked open the other one. Amelia found a brick wall.
Huh?
Lena yelped, Yes! And the tour continued through her outlet. They lost track of time after walking what felt like miles and looked at what seemed like millions of dolls in various stages of creation, from the earliest designs and prototypes, continuing through hundreds of stages of production. It was obvious that this man was a phenomenal craftsman. However,
I've had enough of this, Lena said, hiding a yawn. I think Val et al. Might be missing us by now. Say, Joe, this has been great, really interesting and all, but what we came here to find...
Ah, yes, something to take with you, Joe murmured, right this way. Again, he led them down a poorly lit passage that opened up back at the front entry.
This must be the way he came in the first time, Amelia whispered to Zelgadis. Oops, sorry.
She apologized for striking him again with her sharp star points, jutting out from the shoulders of her costume.
Stupid costume! Lena should have gotten it!
Zell nodded, understanding her sentiments. This suit was for Zelos, wasn't it? But before she could deny it, he moved on, mumbling. Should have known. You wouldn't have planned it this way. Only Lena puts me into these humiliating costumes.
I like mine,
Gowrie said dreamily as he drifted by.
He is way too happy in that costume,
Zelos noted for some future reference. Then, louder, he said, Well, that's just wonderful.
Why is it so wonderful?
Lena turned on him. She tried to grab him by his collar, but seeing as he had none handy, she just slapped at his arm.
What else do you know about this place? You haven't been very surprised at anything going on here.
Zelos nabbed her wrist, mid-swing, and used the leverage to pull her closer. With a light kiss to her cheek, he said, Let's just leave it at that. Winked and strode off in the direction of the door. Lena blushed under the gaze of her other friends, completely stunned by his forwardness.
Here you go, Joe called, breaking the tension.
He stood, poised at the door, holding out a small paper bag for each of the 5 kids. Enjoy. Compliments of the shop. Bye now. He waved and stuffed a sack into their hands on their way out.
What's this? Oh, look, it's me!
Amelia cried out. She pulled out a stuffed doll and jumped around excitedly. It was a starfish, with hand-embroidered blue eyes and short, black, silky hair.
Well, I'll be, Gowrie chuckled as he looked over his toy. That's me, right?
Let me see!
Lena pulled the jellyfish toy out of his hands.
Yeah, right down to the blue eyes and blonde hair. Funny, huh?
Oh, Mr. Zelgadas, it's so cute!
Amelia nearly exploded into a shower of tiny hearts. It's a rabbit.
Yes, but one with silver hair, and look, an earring.
Zell sighed, unimpressed. Do you want it? Amelia nearly collapsed with joy, then promised to take the very best care of it for him. Lena looked in askance at the others, clutching her pink pony doll protectively to her chest. I'm keeping mine. See? It's got a red tail and mane. Everyone admired her pretty doll.
What about yours, Mr. Zelos?
Zelos peeked inside his bag, and then withdrew a skinny green frog with straight purple hair.
Oh, how cute! Don't you like it?
It's fine, Amelia. I'm just not a collector, I suppose. Would you like to add it to your collection?
Oh, yes! Thank you!
She gushed. So the kids gathered up their clothes and borrowed the dressing room back at the costume rental shop to get dressed. It's too cold to expose myself to the elements again, Zelos whined. But the others understood and didn't argue or give him a hard time. Except Zelgadas, that is. That place had nothing to do with why we came here. Nothing. Just another wild goose chase. Complete mortification and a waste of my time. Next time... There won't be a next time, so shut up, Buster. Hey, Vel, over here! Lena shouted, cutting Zell off and pushing him aside. Actually, that had been worth all the time it took to see Zell reduced to bunny cuddly again. Yes, she was feeling a lot better about the guy. He was still just a geek under her sway and for her to command at will. Yes. Lena Inverse rules supreme over all. Ha 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 ha. Zell sighed, but then noticed that oh-so-familiar look of self-importance sort of take over Lena's countenance. She was positively glowing. Well, if his own personal, total humiliation was what it took, then he guessed he had succeeded in winning back his friend. Yes, he was back in her good graces again. Oh, joy! It would behoove him to hide his own smile. Val loped up to greet them, leaving Philia and Silphiel at the corner. Rodimus is waiting for you at the van. We gotta go now if you want to give the slopes a try today.
All right, let's go!
Lena shouted. Then to Zell she grinned. Ah, buck up there, old Zemon. Time for more fun, right?
Right.
But then, maybe not.
So, if we want to go skiing, where do we go? You got stuff we can rent?
The resort staff exchanged glances before one stepped up to the desk to address the spunky little red-haired girl. This isn't a ski resort. We feature the finest mineral hot springs. I'm afraid there isn't enough snow depth here for skiing.
Zelos?
Lena turned on him. Wasn't this where you were bringing...
coming to go skiing?
He looked down at his feet, slightly embarrassed. Guess I didn't do my homework very well.
I don't think he was counting on having much activity outside the room,
Val chuckled. A blush painted Lena's cheeks. She spun on a heel, hefted her bag, and marched off to find her room.
Ew!
Philia gave Zelos and Val a nasty look and followed Lena's example.
I really prefer to stay in, too, said Silphiel. I mean, skiing has great clothes, but it's so much effort, you know.
Zelos, Val, Gowrie, and Zell just stared at her, and then they all exploded into giggles and laughter.
What's so funny about that?
She asked Amelia. Amelia shook her head and clicked her tongue.
Nothing! They're just being dirty-minded boys. Come on, Miss Silphiel, let's go find our room!
The girls shared two rooms with an adjoining bath, each with their own bed.
Nice!
Lena sighed as she collapsed on one bed.
I approve, Philia said with a chuckle. She had drawn Lena's name for a roommate. Silphiel, with Amelia, clambered through the bathroom passageway.
This is really great, isn't it? It must be costing Zell a lot of money.
Oh, Miss Lena, what a pretty view you have!
Amelia cried out. Yeah! Lena was interrupted by a rap at the door. Amelia opened it to find Gowri.
I was sent to get you for dinner, if you're hungry.
A little early for dinner, Philia replied. Speak for yourself! That was Lena, of course. Catch up when you're ready.
Oh, we'd better go now, or the kitchen might run out of food.
Philia smiled. Her expression softened as Val approached.
Philia's in a good mood, Amelia observed to Silphiel.
She and Val are both pretty happy. Like, so what do you think that means?
Silphiel snickered.
You should have seen them at the tea house.
Val went to a tea house with you?
Amelia asked. Silphiel nodded.
While we toured that creepy but very interesting dollhouse?
Silphiel nodded again.
Wow!
Yeah, Val went into gift stores and was so nice you couldn't have believed he was for real.
Silphiel sighed all misty-eyed.
How romantic!
Amelia sighed in concert. Indeed, Philia and Val had obviously patched things up. No googly eyes, but Val was attentive and Philia was kinder to everyone. And they were light-spirited, breezy, and cheerful.
Oh, what's that cute thing? Oh, you have another! Oh, Amelia!
Silphiel went crazy over the stuffed dolls.
What? Let me in on... Oh, gods, those are just so cute. Even the one with purple hair that looks disturbingly like someone we all know.
Oh, I get it. This one's you and Zell and him, of course.
Philia went mad over them, too.
Look at these.
Lena had rifled through Gowri's bag and retrieved his jellyfish doll image of himself. She had thought that he would have gallantly offered it to her, like Zell had to Amelia. Lena had almost felt a tinge of jealousy when Zelos had handed his over to Amelia, without even consulting her. Maybe she would have liked a skinny-legged frog. But neither Gowri nor Zelos had thought she would have wanted to collect stupid stuffed animals. So Lena had to actually ask Gowri for his.
That's pretty cute. I might start collecting these, starting with yours.
Gowri answered, shaking his head. He whipped the doll out of her reach. This one's mine. You got your own.
Well, she couldn't dispute that. Somehow she knew, though, she would get her hands on that doll. And now she had. Although, she'd stolen it.
Well, not exactly. She would put it back. In a moment. After she showed it off.
She presented both her pony and his jellyfish doll to the admiring girls.
I guess that creepy tour was good for something.
Silphiel moaned.
I wish I had gone now.
Yeah, I'd like the whole set of them. Can you just see Val as a big red heart?
Or a dragon,
Silphiel suggested creatively.
You like dragons.
Mr. Zelos had it all planned, he told me. There's a deal between the costume shop and the doll factory. They have bunches of these already made to match the costumes. Then, while you tour, the shop adds the hair and eyes and all to customize them. It takes no time at all.
Amelia, Lena's face became enlightened.
Think of it. If we like these, don't you think other kids would? Fans? We could order tons of these to look like us in different costumes and sell them at... profit at gigs.
Oh, Miss Lena, that's a great idea. Let's talk to Zelos about that and get the name of the right people to contact.
After dinner, though, Lena smiled and made for the door. Just a minute. She did a quick course correction and then stuffed Gowri's doll back into his bag. He had been generous about the CDs and all. Best let him give it to her in his own way and own time. Because she knew he would, in the end.
Lena and Gowrie were already shoveling in food furiously by the time the others were all seated. Zelgadas had pre-ordered the meal to save time. Zelos was reading a brochure.
"What's that about?" Lena asked him.
"Our resort package. I've been reviewing our activities."
At Lena's raised eyebrow, he elaborated on the theme.
"Tonight, hot mineral stokes, steam room optional, and massage before bedtime aperitif, which, since we are underage, is hot cocoa with scones."
"I'm gonna gain 5 pounds this weekend," Sylphiel moaned.
Ignoring that remark, Lena said, "Okay, tell me about tomorrow. What's on the agenda?"
"Ah," he shook his finger at her. "That's a secret."
He held her gaze a moment. Then she shrugged. "As long as they don't try to starve us." But the food was ample, if not delicious, so no one starved or even went hungry. After a suitable rest period, 2 young male stewards escorted the slayers to the changing rooms. There were big, fluffy towels to wrap up in, and soft slippers to cushion their feet from the icy tiles. Then a brisk walk out of doors to the steaming mineral baths. There were several to choose from, spotted around at varying levels and utilizing rocky outcroppings for privacy screens.
"So, which ones?"
Gowrie asked the other guys as he saw the girls coming their way.
"Up over that way." Zell pointed to a far-off plume of steam. "Where we won't run into anyone."
Since they were completely nude beneath the towels, there wasn't any question of the girls joining them.
"Might as well," Val agreed. "Ain't gonna be no big social event tonight."
Lena could see the tail end of Gowrie's blonde mane swaying in the distance. "Let's head over that way," she pointed in the opposite direction. "It'll be quieter."
"Absolutely," Philia agreed. "Put some space between us and their crude jokes."
And so, the slayers parted ways and spent an evening in total relaxation. After full-body massages, they tucked into a late-night snack, then sank into their beds and slept like the dead. Zulf made it in after midnight, staying up long into the night, in deep discussion with Rodimus. They all slept in the next morning. There was no rush for anything. It was totally relaxing and restorative for the kids. After meeting for breakfast, new activity directors led them through checklists of possibilities. Mud baths, salt soaks, scrubs and peels, manicures and pedicures, hair conditionings and wraps. These treatments were followed by lunch and free time, then physical exercise. Had any of them wanted to do anything? Mostly, they just slept or lay around talking and reading, knowing that it would be a late night with celebrating to look forward to. Zelos's birthday party and New Year's. Lena bumped into Zell, she with a snack from the bar, and he with a copy of the Saeroon Guardian.
"Hey, Zell."
"Lena." Zell smiled and changed direction to intercept her path. He was genuinely pleased to see her. He had just had a mud bath, followed by a long, warm soak, and then nearly fell asleep after a heated stone massage. It had been the closest to nirvana that his karma had ever taken him.
"How you been? You look, well, different."
"Relaxed and worry-free," he smiled.
"Yeah, that is different," she cackled.
He stood, arms folded, and waited her out. She looked pretty at ease herself.
"Are you done?"
"Ha ha, yeah. You having a good time? I was wondering how this stuff might affect your skin, like irritated or something."
"No problems. In fact, I found the mud to be especially nice. Take a look. My arm seems smoother or something."
Lena nearly fainted. Zell showing off a part of his anatomy? And bare naked flesh at that? Would the wonders never cease?
"Not bad, Zell. Feels smooth, all right. And the redness is all gone."
"Hey, wouldn't that be something if all you had to do was soak in mud for an hour to clear up your marks?" Zell was lost in thought, and not about the marks on his skin. but about the feeling of Lena's cool little fingers touching his skin. Goosebumps rose along his arm. The redness always comes back after a little while, but... Hey, look at those! She pointed out the bumps. You ever get those before? I always thought your skin was mostly non-reactive. It was... This is new. Well, that's something to tell the doctor, right? She clapped him on the back. Oh, I got a great idea. Sylph and Phil got a look-see at those stuffed dolls from the tour and went bonkers. I figured the fans would, too, and we could sell a shitload of them, you know? Get all different kinds made up to look like us, and folks could start collections. We could make a mint! Zell nodded. Possibly. You think people really collect those kinds of things? I mean, besides just little kids? Lena's eyes narrowed. Lots of girls do. Adults, too. Are you forgetting Amelia has numerous collections? Or are you putting her in that little girl category? So, Zelos knows the man to contact. He went on, skipping over Lena's remark. So I've been told. Lena watched his face a moment, waiting for her next question to trigger some reaction in him. You gonna tell me what's up between you and Amelia now? His eyes darted up and got trapped by Lena's. Nothing's up. I'm waiting. He sighed, and he knew he was whipped again. Sit down. He gestured to a secluded pair of chairs and table situated in an alcove. There were many of these scattered throughout the spa for casual conversations like this one. I'm sitting. All right. Don't know. No, really. I don't know how I feel about her, or if I even want to. I like her, Lena, but I don't know if that's enough. Enough to what? No, I really want to know, Zell. I kind of understand what you're saying. Enough to call her a girlfriend, I guess. It's just that I don't have that burning need like Zelos seems to have one. Happiness that it brings is pretty fleeting, and the complications are more than I care to punish myself with. Plus, it's like she and I are on another wavelength sometimes. I can't imagine that we share many common interests. The time we spend together is nice, but... But she wants more? Lena supplied. More of certain things. She wants that emotional commitment from Mr. Detached? That too. She's surprisingly more demonstrative than you might think, and... It's more than you want? Further than you want to go? Lena knew that was true for her. And since Zell's other complaints aligned with hers, she thought that this one might as well. Zell blushed. Not exactly, he muttered. Lena's breath caught. Oh. I can't help it, Lena. I managed to turn out to be just a guy in the end. An ordinary guy underneath all these scars. Plus, I live with Val and Zelos who talk incessantly about girls and all. It's hard to get away from. And then she wants to hug me and all, and... He sighed and ran a hand through his hair nervously. And I've come to realize that it's not that she's too young, it's that I'm too old for her. And her father reminds me of that fact regularly. Not to mention how something like that can mess up the band, as you can vouch for, since we just went through that recently with you and... Yeah, those two. God, Zell. Sometimes I wish I could stop time and not grow up. I'd like to avoid all this stuff a little longer. Zelos, wow, he's just too aggressive. And Gowrie, he wants that emotional thing big time. That scares me even more than the physical stuff, I think. Again, their eyes met in quiet contemplation of one another. What a messed up pair we make, Zell said with a small laugh. Yeah. I'm glad you understand, though. I was beginning to think there was something wrong with me. With you? Never, Lena. You are just an original and make your own rules. That drew out her good spirits again. That's right. And when the gods made me, they said, enough, and threw away the mold. Which slammed into mind and left a deep impression. Zell smiled. Speaking of talking. Amelia snagged Zelos
on one of his many sojourns through the resort.
Mr. Zelos?
Yes, Miss Amelia?
Are you having a good time? I sure am.
I'm happy to hear that. It is peaceful here. Was there something on your mind?
Well, actually there was. You know, I like Mr. Zelgadis and all, but...
But you've come to tell me that you secretly have been in love with me for ages, he smiled. She tripped over a bump in the carpet, but he caught her by the arm effortlessly.
Oh, no! I mean, I like you lots, you know that, but I'm not...
It's okay, he chuckled. I was just joking, right?
Oh, of course you were. I am so stupid sometimes.
No, you're not. You are just very sensitive toward the feelings of others, and often put them before your own. Like with Zelgadis. Actually, that works in your favor with a guy like him.
It does?
Mm-hmm. If you come on too strong, he'll balk. He's also a bit backwards and a bit of a prude. Must be that White Shrine blood running through his veins.
He's just good and very private.
That too, Amelia. Zelos stopped walking and looked deeply into her eyes, examining her resoluteness, perhaps.
I was wondering...
Yes, Amelia?
I was wondering if you might, you know, give him a few pointers. You've had a few girlfriends and know more about how to talk to, get close to, be...
Romantic? Ah, he really hates himself, the way he looks and all. To the point that it blinds him to the possibilities beyond appearance. It gets in the way of him feeling anything. Sometimes, anyway. Also, your father made it very clear to him on more than one occasion that he will prosecute to the fullest extent of the law any adult who seduces his darling underage daughter. Didn't you know? She shook her head violently.
Daddy wouldn't. Anyway, Zelgadis wouldn't do anything like that, but... I guess that explains why he avoids contact. The skin thing and... I'll have a talk with Daddy. I'm not a little girl anymore.
Under his eyes and under the law, you are. And Zelgadis is an adult. Just remember that, okay?
Zelos smiled and patted her on the head.
He does like you, you know. But until he gets over himself, he's stuck in friends mode.
Thanks, Mr. Zelgadis. I think I get him now. And I know what I have to do.
Ah, Amelia, just what might that be?
Zello suddenly realized that perhaps he had said too much, given away one of Zelgadis' secrets or something.
Get him to go to a doctor and get his cure, of course.
Oh my, well, good luck.
Zello smiled weakly. Pointers. Oh yeah. Zelgadis would listen to him on that hot topic. Amelia, you just don't know much about the male mentality.
Thanks!
Amelia threw her arms around him in a friendly hug.
You are such a special friend, Mr. Zelos!
Standing to the side on a balcony overlooking the hall where Zelos and Amelia had met was Zelgadis. He was going to find Zelos to recommend he get changed or whatever for dinner. He hadn't expected to find Amelia with him. How easy Zelos conversed with her, with everyone. Why was it that he had such a difficult time making small talk and just being, well, friendly? Sure, he'd been getting better lately, but he wondered what they were talking about. He knew that if he removed his earplugs, their voices would come in clearly, even from this distance. But that wouldn't be right. He noticed that they had stopped walking. Zelos looked serious. Something was not right. He popped out one earplug the moment Amelia jumped into his best friend's arm, and in time to overhear her declare joyfully,
"You are such a special friend, Mr. Zelos!"
Oh. He felt like Lena had just knocked the air out of him. No, that wasn't how it appeared. He knew that. Zelos was not yearning for Amelia, and he knew she had her heart under better control than that. He cursed himself for having been so foolish as to eavesdrop on his friends like that, catching a warm moment out of context. He should be thrilled that his friends liked one another's company, and that they might seek one another out to talk, or to console one another, something he wasn't prone to doing or desired to be better at. He was lucky to even have friends. Amelia and Zelos parted ways, and he found Zelos on the path to the stairs, coming back to his room, just as he said he would.
"Hey, Zilgadis," Zelos smiled. "I think I want to shower first. Do I still have time?"
"Of course, Zelos. It's your evening tonight. Phileas stopped by to ask if you wanted a hair trim. I told her I'd go look for you."
Yes. Well, I don't think I need one, but I'll go tell her myself.
Thanks." And Zelos rushed by him, skipping steps, then turned down the hallway toward the girls' rooms.
"You're welcome," Zell said quietly with a thoughtful look on his face. "Knock, knock. It's Zelos. Is Miss Phileia available?"
Phileia opened the door to her room immediately and looked up and down the hall. Satisfied that he was alone, he guessed, she squeezed past him and tilted her head to the left. "This way. You got a minute?"
"Yes, but I don't think I need that haircut."
She checked him out with a sweeping glance. "Of course not. But just come here anyway." She led him away from the rooms to a pair of doors at the end of the hall.
"In here. Isn't this the ladies' dressing room?"
"So pretend you're female. I need to talk privately, and everyone on the floor but our band has left. I checked."
"Okay."
Once inside and settled at opposite ends of a wooden bench, she approached him uneasily. "Hey, Zelly, I have a, favor to ask you."
"In here?"
His heart skipped a beat, then started to pound to make up for it. Her eyes narrowed and eyebrows drew together. "I'm going to ignore that for now. This is about Val."
"Val?"
"Yes, Val. You see, I think he likes me."
"You think?"
Zelos chuckled lightly, relieved that Val was going to be the subject of their conversation, and nothing like what his vivid imagination was conjuring up. "I know, but he has a hard time saying the right things, and that's the problem."
"Val, he seems to be able to open up when I've talked to him."
"I don't mean like that," she practically snarled at him.
"Okay."
Zelos figured that it had to be a serious problem then, so he waited her out. She tapped her foot and stared off to the side. "Okay, it's like this." He waited out another pregnant pause. "Val..." Should he bail her out here, or just bail and run? Oh, why play it safe?
"Phileia, Val's not the romantic flowers and candy kind of guy. Is that the problem?"
"Yes," she gasped, so relieved that he had guessed right.
"And let me take a wild stab here. You would like me to talk to him, is that right?"
"Yes, but..." She took a deep, shuddering breath. "He needs coaching, and obviously I don't want him to know I think so, or that I asked you to do it."
Zelos agreed with that, all right. "Oh yes, that would be a bad idea, but why me?"
She gave him that deadly, "You are so clueless" look.
"I mean, last summer you said I was the last person you'd think of when it came to love affairs."
"That was probably ones involving me. Which reminds me, it's time to stifle the rumor mill when we get back to school, if it's still running. In case you care, you and me aren't a couple, and Val and me kinda are. Remember that show I put on in front of the football team?"
"School? I'm not going back. I don't care. Tell everyone what you will if it makes you happy, and Val, too."
Zelos had that faraway look in his eyes. "Yeah, so you'll talk to Val about, you know..."
"How to woo you? Well, Philly, how do you like it? Flowers? I do dinner and dancing, but that's not going to work for him. Any suggestions?"
"How about how to say nice things, for starters, and then to avoid things like, oh, I don't know exactly, like...
come over to my place and make out? That sort of stuff. You don't want him to make that offer, right? Just making sure I have it all straight here. He said that to you?
Not those precise words. He needs more refining.
You think I'm refined? He asked in wonder.
As far as that's concerned, yes. You can be a gentleman when you want to, and your dates have all sounded more romantic in nature than his night on the towns. Get my point? You'll do it then?
I can't promise much. It all depends on his attitude, dudette. I'll give it a go anyway. Hey, I gotta take a shower, so if there's nothing else...
You're excused.
But as he stood to leave, she grabbed his hand.
I've been meaning to say something. I'm really sorry about your breakup, Zelly. I think you're handling it all really good, and I'm sure you'll find some...
He pressed a finger to her lips and begged, please don't say it. Thanks for the sympathy, though. And one more thing, something for you to think about. It goes hand in hand with the romance part. The pain, I mean. She released his hand.
Oh, Zelly, it doesn't have to.
Oh, really? He said with derision. I wouldn't know about that.
It won't always.
Wonderful. He shook his head doubtfully and stomped away. Hey, I know I just look good on her resume sometimes, but you know, I'm not looking at her for any action.
Well, I ain't. Don't laugh, Zelos.
Val growled. You aren't going to get any action no matter which way you look at Philia. Zelos giggled. Not from a priestess of Seafeed. Those white shriners are more willing to negotiate, Val returned wolfishly. Some are. Zelos agreed. I can't vouch for them all, but... He nodded significantly over at Zell. My guess is... Ah, that little thin of his won't put out. Val approached Zelgadas. Zell, my man, you gotta start looking elsewhere. You're at that big U now. There's gotta be chicks all over looking to score. Leave me alone, Zell muttered, and stepped up his pace, leaving the others behind. Val, look, Amelia adores him and he knows it, and he doesn't know what to do about it. He's very moralistic and too self-conscious to be aggressive. She's too young from a legal point of view as well. He's not about to go on a hunt around campus and risk getting snubbed or hurt worse. The more you mess with him about it, the more screwed up he's going to be, so lighten up, Zelos recommended. Okay, old man. Val grinned, and jingle-jangled his way past Zelos and Gowrie to knock on one of the girls' doors. Time for the party! And I want to thank my little brother for organizing all of this for me tonight. He made me a promise the other day, and I don't think he'd mind very much my telling you what it was. Would you? Good. The promise was to make sure I didn't spend another birthday in the hospital. And here I am, and you all are here. And this certainly is a lot nicer than a hospital. So, thanks, Zelgadas. Tears threatened to escape Zelos' eyes. You are so... You have all been so... He tried to brush them aside and finish, but he couldn't. Lena pulled him back down into his seat as she rose out of hers. Looks like Zelos, the man of the hour, has sprung a leak. So while he gets it together, let's all just sing happy birthday to the nutcase. Our nutcase. Okay? Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday, dear Zelly! Happy birthday to you! Happy New Year's, everybody! She shouted over the riotous yelling of the others.